Amen. I'm reading this morning from the book of Philippians. Amen. Chapter 1. Amen. We desire your prayers. We really enjoyed what little bit of the service we got in on last night. Amen. You know how it is with some of these preachers you go preach for. We're a little hoarse. Amen. But I feel the Lord here this morning. Verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance in joy of faith. Amen. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Amen. I hope it's that way. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is, as he puts it, in a strait betwixt two. Amen. He seems to have a choice, and I believe he did have a choice, really, to either depart or to stay. Amen. And the thing that makes him choose to stay is that he can see their need for him to be with them. Amen. That he might be of a help of them to the furtherance of their joy. Amen. And how they needed his teaching and whatever Paul had to give to them. So, at this time, Paul chose to stay for the furtherance of their joy and for their benefit. But when we turn to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the 4th chapter, amen, Paul is now talking differently than he did before. He's saying, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Paul is now saying the time of my departure is at hand. A man had caught sight of something that he hadn't seen in his whole journey up till now. Brother Jimmy, amen. Thank God, hallelujah. Now he's looking at a crown of life. Amen. Come on, church. Now he's looking in the past, Brother Rapp, and he's saying, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. Amen. I'm now ready to be offered up. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God, amen. I feel like Paul had caught hold of something and seen something that he hadn't seen in his whole life. Now he's looking at what I'm calling the home stretch. Some months ago, the Lord woke me up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And I know what that usually means. That means go to my office and pray and study. He woke me up, and as I was praying, I heard him say one word to me. It is the home stretch. Well, you know how I am. I'm just an old ignorant Indian. So I had to go to Mr. Webster. I mean, I've heard about the home stretch, but I never had the Lord tell me it's the home stretch. When he tells me something, I got to look it up and see what he's talking about. So I looked in that old dictionary, Brother Ralph, and they said the home stretch is the distance between the last curve and the finish line. Sweet Lamb of God. Woo! Amen! Amen! Paul said, I'm looking now down the home stretch. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I thought about, I've never been to a race. Never have. Amen. But my sister has, and she is telling me about it. She said, Leon, when they took off, amen, there's a fight with one another, bumping horses and everything else around the first curve and down the side and then back down the back, stretching around they come. They were just trying to maneuver. But she said, when they come around that last curve, everybody forgot about everybody else. Everybody began to see for itself. They're laid out there, and every one of them raised up off the seat and began to whip that horse and begin to try to make that last bit count. Brother, I'm telling you, amen, we're coming down the home stretch, and we better quit playing church. We better quit playing games. We better quit all this maneuvering stuff, because it's time to raise up off your seat and begin to... Woo, hallelujah! Brother, you better believe, amen, we're coming down the home stretch. My God. Preach, Buzzard, I think I'm going to. Amen. Oh, God help us. Amen, the home stretch. It also said the home stretch is the final part of any undertaking. Sweet Lamb of God, amen, December the 22nd, 1950, I undertook to live for God and go to heaven, amen. I believe I'm coming around the last curve. I believe I'm coming down the home stretch, church. I don't believe we got long to go. I believe we're coming down the home stretch. Woo! Amen. Book of Hebrews. Paul, if he wrote it, if he didn't, it don't make no difference. It's still Bible. Paul said, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The manner of son is, but exhorting one another. And he said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe he could have said, so much the more as you see the home stretch. Now, I got to reading. I got interested in this racing. I got a message out of racing on our bloodlines. Lord, I like got carried away with that. But I got carried away with this too. And I got to reading how the owner of the horse and the manager of the horse, when they get that jockey aside, they tell him, now look. And they tell him how to run the first part of the race. Hold right here. Stay right here. Amen. And then when you get on the home stretch, here's what you got to do. He done the same thing for us right here. Come on, church. Oh, I know the world is trying to tell us how to how to do. I ain't too much interested in what the world's got to tell me how to do. I ain't never fit in. I don't suppose I'm ever going to. Don't look like it anyway. Woo! That's all right. I don't mind. Amen. As long as I can feel the anointing of the Lord, I can feel Him rubbing my back like He is right now. Come on, son. I want you to notice, amen, the Bible does give us some specific instructions, amen, on what to do in the home stretch. And that's what I want to know. I like to know how to finish out a good thing. You know, when I was in the service and they told me, I just had a week left. First sergeant called me in. He said, "Now, Buzzard," he said, "you're getting out in a week," but he said, "you won't get out in a week if you don't do what I tell you to do." I said, "Tell me, Sarge, tell me." He gave me a list. I had right at 75 offices on base that I was supposed to see and have the officer sign me out of that. Some of them I didn't know where they was at. Brother Ralph, I'd never been to them. I mean, I had to go to the theater and have that officer that was over the theater signing me off there that I didn't know nothing at the theater. I said, "I ain't never been there." He said, "He has to sign it." He handed me that thing on Monday morning, Brother Art. I walked in Tuesday at noon. I said, "Here's your list except for one." Hey, man, the pay officer would have said he couldn't pay me off till he gave me my last check. He said, "You ain't been." I said, "There they are. Look at them." We're on the home stretch, church. Are you ready, amen? Amen, to go if you get to the finish line. Will you be met, amen, with words of well done? Or will He say, "How come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? How come you come up short?" Amen. My God, church, we're on the home stretch. It ain't no time to be taking shortcuts. Ain't no time to slack up and come short of what God expects out of us here on the home stretch. Come on, church, you may get around about some things on the back stretch, amen, and on the first part of it, but my God, we're here on the home stretch. We don't have to do it like He said, do it. First thing He said, amen, let us draw near with true heart, full assurance, faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near with true heart. You know, it's if I can say that word, statistical. Is that close enough? You know what I'm talking about? That the most dangerous part of any trip is the last 25 miles. That's what they say. Of course, I hope we're not like that man in Arkansas. When they told him that, he sold his house and moved somewhere else. He said he wasn't about to live in such a dangerous place. I'd like to tell you, it's about time to sell the house and get in this race. Draw near with a true heart. Half-hearted effort, amen, will never get us through the home stretch, church. I said a half-hearted effort ain't going to get it. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, don't let that scare you, amen, that's just part of the Bible, amen. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath just the home stretch to get to us. That's all he's got left. Brother Bruce, we've run the front part of it. We're down the back stretch. We've been through that. Coming through the last curve now, and here's the home stretch out in front of us. He's through playing games. Are you? I said, the devil's through playing games. He knows that he ain't got but just a short time, Sister Elizabeth, just a short time. Amen. Satan knows that he knows that we're on home. You know, isn't it strange that the devil knows that and we don't know it? He knows we're on the home stretch, Brother Jimmy. When I was in the service, amen, a year before I got out, they give me my re-enlistment talk. I laughed at him. Amen. The last month that I was in, they gave me 4, 5, or 6 of them trying to get me to stay in. I said, there ain't no way. I want to tell you something. The devil, he's still playing games. He knows we're on the home stretch. He knows that. Amen. And, you know, we don't act like we know it, but he does. And he's going to go all out. All out. On the home stretch. To waylay the church. That's you. That's me. Didn't the Bible said that serpent, amen, went out to make war with the remnant of her seed, them which have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep His commandments? Ain't that the wholeness bunch? Okay, Pentecostal bunch. It don't matter to me what you call yourself, as long as you're wholeness. Amen. And he knows that that's all he's got. He knows that. And he's going to go all out. And you know what? A half-hearted effort in the home stretch is going to give him all the advantage he needs to waylay your soul. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to find somebody that he can waylay. If you ain't got but half your heart in this, you ain't never going to make it to the finish line. Not down the home stretch. Because now he's coming in a concentrated effort, amen, to waylay the church however, wherever, and that. Any way he can. The Bible tells us of a king named Amaziah. And the Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Sound good, don't it? But the Bible said, but not with a perfect heart or with his whole heart. I see that going on today. My heart breaks. I see folks, sisters, Elizabeth, amen, that are living like God told them to. I mean, I don't usually mess around a whole lot with people that don't live right, look right. They're just not my kind of people. I'm sorry. If I get a chance to preach at them, I do. But my fellowship is with holiness folks. That's what I'm doing up here. Y'all are holiness, ain't you? And just in the last little while, I've noticed something that has disturbed me very much, Brother Ralph. Although people are doing and putting on and looking like wholeness, it's with resentment in their heart. Brother Bruce, I hear more grumbling and complaining now about this way than I've ever heard in all my ministry. Brother Art, we're on the home stretch. Sweet Lamb of God, don't you know the devil is looking for those that are unhappy with holiness? Don't you know that he's looking for folks that really don't want to live it and that's only living it because they have to, because that's what the church said? They can't come on the platform unless they're dressed right. They can't come. They can't sing unless they're dressed right. They want to sing, but they don't want to live it. Here we are on the home stretch, and the devil's after your soul, and all you're putting into this is just half your heart. You ain't gonna make it. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Lost my glasses. Did you say praise the Lord? Huh? Amen. I was preaching holiness in my own home church. Amen. Brother Bruce, and I mentioned something I really wasn't preaching against and just mentioned it. And she said, turn the page. I didn't turn the page. I stayed there. Brother Ralph had made her, I guess it made her mad. She quit church. Still holiness though. Oh yes, still holiness. Oh yes, 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 yes. Are y'all out there? Not for long. Oh, God help us. Amen. Listen, the Bible said if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. I'm up to reading in Thessalonians where the Lord was talking about some things. Brother Bruce, I noticed that he said that he was going to send a lie or send a delusion to them that they believe a lie and be damned, amen, because they receive not the love of the truth. Huh? Brother Ralph, it didn't say that they wasn't living it. It didn't say that they wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing. It just said they did not receive the love of the truth, amen. My God, church, you're not going to make it unless you begin to love holiness and righteousness and separation from the world. My God, if you don't love it, you better pray till you do fall in love with holiness and the Word of God. You're going to have to fall in love with this if you make the home straight. Your heart ain't in it. God said, I'll curse your blessing. My blessing is to live above this world. It's been a blessing to me, amen, to live above the world and out of sin, Brother Jim. It's been a blessing to me that my life is not scarred by sin, but that very thing that is my blessing could become my cursing if I fall out of love with you. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God, preach, buzzard. Amen. If we enter into this home stretch without the love of the truth, the question is asked in the book of Judges, how canst thou say thou lovest me and your heart is not with me? How can you say that? We've practiced, that's how we can say that. You know, folks do this when they do like Amaziah did. He done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And thought that was good enough. Amen. But the trouble was that God had pondered his heart. The trouble was God had weighed his spirit. He said, you ain't got your heart into this thing, son. Proved that he didn't have it either. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. My God in heaven, help us. Amen. Here we are. I mean, on the home stretch. Amen. I can see the finish line out there just a little ways. I can see it ahead. Amen. What's that song say? I can see the lights of home. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, I can see the end of this race out there. I can see it, amen. And yet the church, amen, is not in love with God as they was in days gone by. I was pastoring a church somewhere, amen, and this brother Wayne, they said, Brother Leon, can't we have more than just 1 week's meeting? I'd had several revivals, and we just run a week. They said, we'd like to see one where it goes a little farther than 1 week. So So I asked Brother Wendell Pittman was coming. I called him. I said, Brother Wendell, can't you give us more than just a week? Can't you go 2 weeks? He said, I can't make 2 weeks, but I go the next Wednesday because something that he had to be somewhere. So I told him, I said, we're going to go 10 nights. Oh, praise God. Amen. First week we had revival. I think we had, was it 4 Mona filled with the Holy Ghost? I mean, we was having revival. Amen. We come back that next Monday morning. Brother Ralph, they left their heart at home. They just sat there. And Wendell pulled. Tuesday he pulled. Wednesday night he pulled. He said, Buzzard, you dirty rat. I got blamed for all of it. I was still singing. I was still hollering amen, but that's just sitting there. How come it is when we talk about our forefathers that didn't have a Cadillac to drive to church? My daddy told me about a meeting. It was a meeting that Grandpa and them all got saved in. Went for weeks. Brother Ralph, weeks? I believe it was months. I don't remember how long it was. They said they'd get up, come up out of the holler, come up there to the old gray schoolhouse. Amen. Come to church, be there. Amen. Till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Go back home. Grandma would cook breakfast while Grandpa went out, hooked the mule up out from the wagon, hook him to the plow. Months of it. They never missed a church. Not a night. Now, we're having 3-day revival. 3-day camp meeting. What happened? Our heart's not in it. You know, if your heart's in it, time don't mean thing. My wife loves to go to Walmart. My heart's not in that. My wallet is, but my heart ain't. She can go through all them departments. She can stand to look at little girls' dresses by the hour because we got granddaughters. You know how that this one fit her and this one would fit her and this. I don't care if they do it or not. Come on, church. My heart ain't in that. Hello? My heart used to be in fishing, and I could go there for hours and do that. If I got a bite or not, didn't matter too much. My heart was, it ain't no more. I don't even have a fishing pole anymore. I got catfish in the pond behind me that long. I ain't even interested. I've lost interest in that. I'm telling you, we better get our hearts into this thing, or we ain't going to make it. Amen. Isn't it a shame? Amen. You know what God said? He said, they come unto thee as the people cometh, and sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. In other words, they come before you, but their heart not here. Their heart is after whatever they wanted. No. Folks show a greater enthusiasm over being Democrat or Republican than they do over being Christian. Brother Ralph, they won't hardly talk to you about the Bible. Huh? Come on, church. I won't hardly talk to you about that. Oh, I don't want to cause no division here. Talk about the election and see if they care about causing the division or not. Now shout, church. I told him once, I said, if you're a Democrat, you better pray through. He said, what about a Republican? I said, you better pray through twice. I said, what are you? I said, I'm Christian. Which way are you going to vote? I said, I don't really want my vote registered either way it's going, to tell you the truth. I hate to have it on record. It's going to be hard to explain to God why we vote for either one of them. Now, y'all, you're about to stir me up, preacher, now. Oh, I know I am now, but I wasn't a while ago. Come on, church, talk about wholeness. They'll cool off. Huh? Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. Everything in, under the sun, amen, has got a hold of our hearts and our mind, our concentration and everything else. But when it comes to godliness and righteousness and holiness, we're not too much interested. Huh? I'm God in heaven and we're on the home stretch. Hey man, the end of the race is right out there, brother Wayne Armbrister. It's right out there. Hey man, and we got our mind on this over here, that over yonder, this back there, and that over here and yonder. Oh God, help us, amen. You know, in the book of Luke, I'll just turn over and read that. The Lord just brought it to my mind. That's the thing to do, isn't it? I think I just throwed my notes out the window here. Amen. If that offends you, I join the crowd. The Bible said there that men's hearts fading them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Did you hear that? Men's hearts failing them. For fear and for looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Where is your heart this morning? Is it in this race? No, that's strange. We had some folks go on vacation. Brother Wayne and I asked them, I said, what camp meetings are you going on your vacation? I knew several, Brother Ralph, that was going on. We're not going to no camp meeting. We got to get away from all of that. Joe, we got to get away from going to church, godliness, preaching. I've got to have a vacation from that. I've never had a vacation where I just went out and looked at the mountains, laid on the beach. No, I've always took my vacations, if I had any, to go preach camp meeting or revival or homecoming. I'll take a vacation one of these days. When I cross, thank you, Brother Ralph. When I cross that finish line that yonder, he's going to say, well done. Enter into the joys of your Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. You've done it, son. Hang your harness right over there on the wall. Oh, God, help me this morning, Lord. I feel such a burden on my heart for the church. Oh, I know, somebody asked me, you know, what's the main thrust of your preaching? And Sister Elizabeth, a lot of preachers, oh, to reach the lost. I understand that. I want to reach them too. But my heart aches for the church. My heart aches for people that are losing their interest in God. My heart aches for them. Amen. Amen. We look at Look at this world today. The divorce and remarriage and all that stuff going on. You know why that is? Because there's no love in that marriage. Their hearts are not in it. Come on, church. I said their hearts are not in it. So it don't work. Amen. Don't you know it's the same way between us and the Lord? If there's no love there, if there's no heart in it, it can't exist. Your long dress and long hair is nothing but hypocrisy if your heart's not in this thing. Come here, church, amen. I said your holiness standard don't mean a thing to God. Amen, if your heart's not in it. I'm going to preach to a holiness church. Brother Ralph and I thought, man, this will be easy to preach here. I mean, I know how to preach holiness. Y'all know that, don't you? Yeah, I knew you did. Amen. I mean, bless God, if you don't mind me, just like Paul said, just boast a little in the flesh. I can bust hide with the best of them. I mean, come on, church. I mean, come on, I can take the Bible and clobber you over the head. It ain't too hard to do. I get it done to me all the time. Huh? But, Sister Elizabeth, I have this bad habit of praying before I go preach meeting, you know. Bad habit. I mean, bad habit. I said, Lord, where do you want me to start? He said, son, start with the heart. What do you mean, Lord? He said, their holiness standards don't mean nothing to me while I look in their hearts and see envy and strife and jealousy and enmity, hatred. You know what? We put our trust in holiness standards instead of God. That's right, amen. Paul said they love the creature more than they love the Creator who is blessed forevermore. I believe that's the way it reads. Amen. In the first chapter of Romans, amen. And that's what we've done. We've worshiped at the altar of long hair and long dresses, and our hearts are so far from God, and we're on the homes. Are you going to quit preaching holiness? No. But I think we ought to do it like Jesus said, do it. Now y'all looking at me funny. He looked at them, oh Lord, I ain't even close to where I'm supposed to be yet. That's all right. He looked at that bunch. He said, you do appear beautifully outward. But you're like whited sepulchres, he said, which indeed appear beautiful. Chapter 23, Matthew. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, I'll read it, Lord. I will. Amen. I promise you I will. I want to get this right this morning. Amen, Lord. I stayed up till 2 o'clock studying. Amen. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Amen. For you pay tithe of mint and hanson cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done and not to leave the other undone. Amen. Jesus is telling them, you have majored on minors and minored on the major things. He said, you blind guides, amen, you strainer than that and swallow a camel. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Amen. You're like unto whited sepulchres or sepulchres, depend on where you're from. Amen, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men, bone and all uncleanness. Even so you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Whoa. You scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. But within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse. F-I-R-S. Tell me what that word spells. Did you say first? All right. Cleanse first. That which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. We do it the exact opposite. As soon as they fall in the altar and begin to pray, we begin to pound on them about holiness standards. Now y'all are looking at me funny. Sure. He's went charismatic. I know he has. You're lying. Do you know what the Bible said? For God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Get the inside cleaned up, friend. Get your heart into this. Come on, church, if you get your heart into this, God's going to talk to you, amen, about He'll take care of that. He may need my help, but I'm going to help Him all I can. I said, God will take care of it. We had a revival this spring. Amen, Brother Wayne Armbrester. Amen, Brother Daniel. Philip Dean from Virginia. You know Brother Philip. We had three saved. Great meeting. I mean, and one-fifth the Holy Ghost. That's almost a month's meeting. Tuesday, after the meeting, the phone rang. A young lady was on the phone. She said, Brother Buzzard? And I said, yes. And she said, you don't know me. She gave me her name, and I didn't know her until I seen her, and then I knew who she was. She'd been a girlfriend of one of the boys in the church, the one that got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And because she went to the altar and prayed, her parents had forbade her to come back to the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. You're not going no more. Because her mother had been raised in the Church of God back years ago when it was holiness. I said back when it was holiness. And she knew. Brother Wayne, every morning after that, when she'd get up, she'd wake Laurie up. Tell her, you know, she's supposed to go. She was a school teacher. She had to be there earlier than Laurie. Be sure you don't leave this house without your britches on, your makeup, and your jewelry. Shout, church, shout. Be sure. Amen. She hadn't been to church in quite a while. And she had asked Nathan if she could have a Bible for Christmas, and he bought her a Bible. Something in her must have been hungry, because she began to read the Word. On this morning that she called me, her mother had admonished her how to dress before she left home. She said, I got up to put them things on and something would not let me put them on. I couldn't put my makeup on. I couldn't put my jewelry on. She said, I didn't know what was happening. Brother Archie said, I don't know. I just didn't know. Amen. And she said, it come to me to call the holiest preacher. She said, can I come out and talk to you? I said, come on. She drove up out in the yard and I said, you're right, Mona, it is her. It's her. She come in the house, tears streaming down her face. Told us what. She said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Why, Sister Elizabeth, I've known what to do ever since Mama got saved when I was 4 years old. Come on, church. Prayed through when I was 12 years old. My God, amen. I thought everybody ought to know what to do. She didn't. But the Spirit of the Lord reached out. Touched her. We told her, said, you need to pray. I said, do you want to pray? Yes. She thought we had to go to church. I said, you can pray right here in our front living room. I said, you want me to call some of the saints? She said, yes. While I was calling the saints, getting them to come over, and they dropped everything and came. Sister Elizabeth, in the middle of planting season, in the middle of everything else, they dropped it and came, because here's a soul. If you're in love with God, they don't nothing count when it comes to doing what God wants you to do. And while they was a-coming, she asked the wife while I was on the phone, is there anything that I need to do? Any special, you know, they don't know how to pray. Mona told her, said, the thing to do is confess your sin, repent of them, and ask Him to forgive you. That's all you need to do. They start getting in, and I could see the time was right. We couldn't wait till everybody got there. Sister Elizabeth, we started praying, and just slick as a whistle, she come up off that floor and went to Laurie, how you feeling? She's telling him. He said, it sounds like to me that you're about ready to get saved. I said, you're too late, Brother Joe. This baby's done been born. Amen. We named her Laurie. Woo! Come on, church. Amen. Amen. My God in heaven. Amen. This girl got her heart into this thing from the very beginning. She went home that day to tell Mama what happened. She wanted me there. I went. Her mother came in. Me and Nathan was there. Her mother came in. We waited till she come in. Then we went in. And she said, what's going on? She told her. She said, we haven't talked this over. And she went upstairs. We waited. Soon she went up. Laurie went up there. She came back and said, Mama wants you all to leave. What can I do? We left. Ethan said, I'm going out and set and pick up. I'm going to stay here till the daddy gets here. I don't know what's going to happen. They were wild people. Crazy. You know what they done to that girl? They said, if you're going to live wholeness, 17 years old. They kicked her out. Her daddy has disinherited her. He's willed everything he's got to another daughter that lives at Savannah. Jacked up with somebody. Goes to the nude beach. Huh? Are you there? She lived with an aunt for a while. They decided they wanted to go down to the beach. Laurie said, I'm not going. Her aunt kicked her out. She's living with a school friend that's not even a Christian to give her a home. Brother Leon, why didn't somebody in the church do it? Because they want to sue the church for taking their daughter away from them. Huh? Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me? She goes to church. She's living just like she's supposed to live. And I haven't had a chance to ever sit down with her and give her any lessons on how to dress or anything else. The only thing is, when she left, they wouldn't let her take her clothes. She didn't have nothing. Wouldn't let her take her clothes, not even her glasses. You can't come in this house. Church took her up $800 to get her some clothes and some glasses. The only stipulation we put on it is, Laurie, don't buy no split skirts. I don't care if you shout or not. You had to look a while, but she found them. You could too if you wanted to, if you had your heart in this thing. Here she is! Amen! My God! Amen! Out of the what church is it they're in? Methodist church. Out of the Methodist church. Come right out of that! Amen! Brother, they had took her up to Macon. Amen! Up there to the presbyter of the the Presbyterian church in the state of Georgia. Kept her up there for hours and talked to her and told her she'd been brainwashed. She said, they ain't talked to me about nothing. She said, there's something in here that's talking to me. She got it in her heart, and you could too if you wanted it. Get it in your heart. It'll talk to you. It won't tell you any different than all these old-time preachers have been preaching all these years. Woo! I know there's a bunch of yellow-bellied cowards that's quit preaching holiness. I know that. That didn't change the Bible none. I said, that didn't change the Bible none. That didn't change the standard of holiness none at all, amen. My God, church, amen. When are we going to wake up that this thing is almost over with? And if our heart ain't in it, we ain't going to make it. Now the Lord bring me another scripture. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's another interesting word. When I looked up diligence, I didn't know what it meant, really. Sister Elizabeth, I like that so much I memorized it. So you won't get offended while I read it out of my notes, because I ain't got it in my notes this morning. That old dictionary, the one that Ralph bought me at the secondhand store so many years ago, said, Buzzard, you need this bad. He was right. I have needed it bad. Amen. It said a careful and constant effort with much attention to the smallest of details. Are you all out there? He said, keep your heart with all diligence, with the constant. That's every day. That's every hour. That's at every church. That's among the lost. That's among the backsliders. That's everywhere you go, Brother Ralph. A constant, everyday effort with much attention. Oh, Brother Buzzard. They've told me this so many times, I'm sick of hearing it. Brother Buzzard, you ought to be more broad-minded. Should I? I said, well, you're so narrow-minded you can see through a keyhole with both eyes at one time. I said, if it's holiness, you're absolutely correct. Come on, church. I said, you want me to be broad-minded, why don't you be broad-minded? What do you mean? I said, if you get your bank statement back next month and it's whatever, $25, $30, $100 off, why don't you just forget it and just go on your way? What do you go down there and raise such fuss for? I said, if you took your car down to the mechanic and said, here's your car, said, I didn't do it much good, amen, but it's run about like it was, but it might work out. I don't know. It might straighten itself out. It might not. I don't know, but here it is. Here's the bill. It's $125. Be broad-minded about it. Just go ahead and drive the old clunker and hope it makes it. Hello? I came to Brother Dillard. Ralph remembers Brother Dillard. Old preacher man that preached at Mount Tabor for 45 years pastored that church. He's sitting on his porch one day, and there's several of them preachers come up to him, and they said, Brother Dillard, said, you know, you're awful narrow-minded about this. Said, Brother Dillard, he said, don't you know that if you're going to Glenwood, you could stay right here on Highway 70, and it'd take you into Glenwood. Or you could turn here right over across the road and go over to Amity and come in on Highway 8. Or you could go back up to Hot Springs and come around through Mount Ida, you could come in on the other side of 8 and come that way. Or you could swing around and go through Amity and go down and come in from Salem down there and come in from the other way. Or you could go up here on the mountain ridge and come over the dirt roads and drop down in. And they told him several ways, said, and you'd end up at Glenwood? And he said, you're right. You're right. And they said, well, Brother Diller said, don't you know, hey man, that you're going one way to heaven and we're going the other. And I mean, he's making it hard on them. Cause and they said, see, and we'll all end up in heaven. He said, you guys forgot something, though. Said, what's that? He said, I ain't going to Glenwood. I'm going to heaven. Where are you going this morning? There's only one way. Oh, crossroad, my friend. Amen. The Bible said, follow peace. Amen. With all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Come on, church. Amen. My God. Amen. And you ain't going to make it unless you get your heart into it. You can't live it good enough on your own. It's not. The Bible said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I'm probably preaching long enough. You ain't got no clock up here this year. Here we are on the home street. Boy, I've got a bunch of points left in my notes, but I feel like I've about to preach what I was supposed to preach this morning. Huh? God has been dealing with me about the inward man here lately. Because I see so much envy, so much strife. Preachers, now I have to preach to the audience now, not look at them for a while. It's most prevalent among the ministers of God, and it's breaking my heart. You don't believe me? Get a bunch of them together and ask them about sanctification and get out of the way, because you're going to have a cat fight right there. Elizabeth, I seen something that shocked me. I seen holiness ministers getting mad and stomp out of the house, saying, bless God, if you don't preach it the way I do, I ain't having nothing to do with you. I told them in Oklahoma, I said, y'all needn't worry about it. Ain't neither one of you got it. I said, you probably couldn't even spell it if you had to. Come on, church. Come on, church. Here we are down the home stretch, and we're going to get into it over when he's coming back. I was preaching a meeting for Brother George Davis several years ago, and one night, Sister Elizabeth, I was preaching, and I happened to mention the short dresses. This woman after church, ooh, she blew up at me. I mean, she shook her finger in my face. Bless God, you ain't going to tell me all this kind of stuff. She said, I'm never coming back. She started out the door, and I said, if you want to go to hell over 4 or 5 inches of skirt, go ahead. She's gone 2 or 3 nights, and then she came back in the audience.
She stood up in the testimony service and talked about when she went home. And she said, the voice kept telling her, you're right, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. They always harp on that. They always do that. And she said, finally I woke up with how I felt in my heart. Huh? Hello? So she said, I added some to it. She stepped out in the aisle and she said, Brother Buzzard, is this long enough? I think it's nearly to her ankles. Are we going to argue over hairdos and hair don'ts? Come on, church. I'm not going to get into you over that or anything else if I can help it. I mean, if the Lord tells me to preach on it, look out because I'm a-coming. But I'm telling you, God has spoke to me and said holiness standards mean nothing to me as long as there's envy and strife in the hearts of mankind. Come on, church, you cannot go to heaven holding a grudge against somebody. That's right. Preach on, Buzzard. I feel. I heard the Bible say, Brother Wayne Armbrister, I heard the Bible say, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spirit to restore such a one, in the spirit of meekness, lest ye up considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Is that what the Bible said? Amen. That's what it said. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I feel like walking up and saying, my brother, what was your last action in church? Was it restoring or was it stomping?
Come on now.
Do you really think you can go to heaven? Do you really think you can go to heaven? If you're a gossip, the Bible said we're going to give an account to God for every idle word, huh? For every deed. Have you ever looked up the word? Oh, I'm glad I'm stupid and don't know a lot and had to look in the dictionary. I really am. I looked up the word account, Brother Ralph, and I thought it just meant to admit that you was wrong. That's what I. But that ain't it. No, you got to admit that you was wrong. And then you got to tell the Lord when you done it. Huh? And how you done it. And then you got to explain to Him why you done it. My dad would always say, Leon, it's time to go to the bedroom. Well, I knew what was going to happen. Sister Belinda, he always act like he didn't know. Brother Calicott, he'd say, what are we doing in here today? Come on, Dad, get life. Dad, I done so-and-so. You did? What did you do that for? Well, if I told the truth, I said, because Mama told me not to. And I had to tell the truth, because if I didn't, he'd catch me in a lie, then he'd give me two whippings, one for lying and one for the other. So I'd have to explain to him. He said, did you know better? Yes, sir. Well, I said, I don't know. He said, what do you think we ought to do? Daniel said, why didn't you tell him, let's pray about it, but I know better than telling him that. I tell him, I guess you need to punish me. He only had one way of punishing. He had this long black belt. It wasn't a razor strop, but it was hard as one. He said, well, okay, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you. Did you know something? God does not rejoice when the wicked go to hell. Did you know something? It breaks His heart because we won't live for Him with our hearts. When He looks down and He sees us as we come before Him, as the people come,
No, Brother Wayne, and he anoints a minister to preach to them and tell them where they're at. They don't pay no attention. What can he do? You know, the Bible said they limited the Holy One of Israel. And you know something? We often think, well, we limit him in his doings and his work like they did Jesus, where he couldn't heal many because of their unbelief. But no, we limit God. We limit that great forgiveness of God. Brother Ralph, we limit him. And he shed his blood on the cross. Amen. Let me read to you something that I don't know some preachers have ever read this. I really don't know if they have. They act like they haven't. Chapter 13, Book of Acts. I've had some ministers tell me, I met them at the altar and I told them, bless God, if they didn't line up, there wasn't no need for them to pray. They'd just well go on back and go somewhere else. What could be in the heart of a man that he'd ever tell a lost person such thing? Man, I'm covering some ground. Pray, Mona, pray. Amen. The Bible said, be it known therefore unto you men and brethren that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You know what forgiveness means to you? White folks know what that means? Forgiveness means that you are guilty, but you do not have to pay the penalty. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God, when I came to Him, I was guilty. I said I was guilty. But He said, you don't have to pay the penalty. I've done hung on the cross and I've done paid it. Now listen. And by Him, A-double-L. Do you know what that word means? No exclusion. All that believe are justified. I didn't have my dictionary with me. And I was at a meeting with Brother Ralph, and Brother Ralph knows everything, I think sometimes. I'm sure he doesn't. But, well, he might. I don't know. He sure is. And I said, Ralph, what does this word justified mean? He looked at me and he said, the dictionary said, and he knows, the dictionary said justified means to be as though it never had happened. My Lord, we can't leave them alone even if they do pray through. We got to remind them every service. Huh? All are justified from all things. Listen, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. 42 sins of the flesh. Under the law of Moses, there was no sacrifice. I believe that's how many. 42. The only thing you could do is just take them outside the gate, kill them. Brother Ralph, if I'd have been living under the law, my parents had had to take me out to the elders of the city and said, this our son is a rebellious son. He won't hear. He won't obey. That was me. That was me, Sister Barbara. Mama would tell me, Leon, don't do that. Daddy will get you. And if I wouldn't go do it, I ain't standing here this morning. One day I told Mama, I said, Mama, Daddy has given me a whipping 86 days in a row. He said, he's ready for the next 86 too if you don't quit it. I look back and wonder what in the world was the matter with me. I know what was in my heart at the age of 12 years old. I hated my parents. Hello? I said I hated them. I couldn't wait till I was old enough to run away from home. I was looking forward to it. I was counting the days. But we went to Oklahoma for Christmas. And on a cold December night, December the 22nd, as I sat in the building, there was a figure walked down the aisle that nobody saw but Leon Buzzard. He had white hair and eyes of flaming blue like a butane stove, Sister Elizabeth. And he looked at this 12-year-old boy with rebellion in his heart and motioned me to the altar. And I came to the altar and I begged God. I said, I don't think you can, but I wish you could. And he did. And he took that out of my heart. I put my heart in this at 12 years old. I'm not about to quit now. I'm on the home stretch. I've put 50 years nearly in this race. I'm not about to quit now. I'm not going to allow the devil, amen, to get in my heart and put hatred and envy and strife and resentment in my heart at this race. I'm on the home stretch, church. And then God had the Holy Ghost put a warning here. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophet. Behold, ye despisers. I had to look that up. You know what a despiser is? It's somebody who looks down on someone else who is less fortunate than him. Huh? That's what the dictionary said. And that's the way some of us holiness people are. We got our robes of righteousness and holiness wrapped around us. And if you don't come up to our little standard, we ain't going to have nothing to do with you. Sister Elizabeth, when that Samaritan found that man in the ditch, he didn't say, hey, if you'll climb up here where I'm at on the road, I'll help you. Down in the ditch he went. Down in the muck and the mire he went. You have to have your heart into it, don't you? I said you have to have your heart into it. You despisers and wonder. You know what a wonder is? The dictionary said a wonderer is one that doubts. I doubt if they'll live it, if they get in. Huh? He said, behold, you despisers wonder and perish. You're going to die with that in your heart. I said, you're going to die with that spirit in your heart. He said, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And the work he was talking about was the justification of all that belief. Brother Ralph, if they can believe, I don't care where they've been or what they've done. I don't care how many times they've got married, have been married. I didn't say they could live on in sin, but I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what muck and mire that you're in today, amen? My God, God can bring you out of that, save your soul, and if you put your heart into this thing, He'll carry you all the way, even through the home stretch. I said, glory to God! I said, praise God. I said, hallelujah. We're on the home stretch. My God, church, amen. We ought to be shouting and joying in the Lord because we're on the home stretch. Get your heart into it. Get your heart. Come on, church. Let's stand and praise God for His goodness this morning. We're on the home stretch.
Let's worship the Lord. Keep your minds on the Lord. Keep your minds on the Lord. Worship Him. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let the Lord search your heart. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. Search me, O Lord. There be any wicked way in me, my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost coming. Worship Him a moment. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, invite the Lord to search your heart right now, right where you're at. As you worship Him, He'll reveal anything you need. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, meditate on the Lord. Let the Holy Ghost have His way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you feel the Holy Ghost here this morning? I said, do you feel the Holy Ghost here this morning? Do you feel the anointing of the Lord dripping down upon us right now? Oh, could we acknowledge it this morning? Praise the Lord. Slip your hands into the air and thank the Lord for the bread that was broken upon us this morning. Thank the Lord that by His mercies we are not consumed as we should be. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Well, do you need to worship God, this or that? I tell you what, we need you and God. That's what we need. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Surely you do. I'm glad the Lord doesn't throw the babies out with the bathwater. I'm just glad He gives us new water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many is glad for the mercies of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I feel church around here. I felt church here last night. I feel church here this morning. We've got a lot of things on us the next day or two, but that don't mean a thing to God and what His will is for this camp meeting. I said, they don't mean a thing to God, what He's wanting to do right now. Glory to God! Praise the Lord! 2 o'clock service, Brother Wesley R., Brother Lloyd Cheek is preaching. We want you to come.